Welcome to the first episode of Overdue. I'm Miss Watts, your Annex librarian.
And I'm Coach Hill, your main building librarian. In this episode, our very first episode, we'll be introducing ourselves, introducing our two libraries, and we'll also be discussing some specific books that we have available for checkout. But first, let's dust off the cover and dive into our feature genre.
Okay, today we're diving into the fantasy genre, where authors bring to life magical or mythological settings and creatures. We're talking races other than humans, such as elves, dwarves, goblins, and more. Like other genres, fantasy can divide into smaller categories and cross ties with other genres altogether. We're going to highlight three that differ primarily in the type of world the story takes place. So a high fantasy is based in an entirely fictional world dreamed up by the author. Within high fantasy, you can find magnificent quests that are called epics that take characters on a long journey. A low fantasy would take place in the real world, with magical elements. One form of low fantasy, paranormal, features mythical creatures in the real world setting. Then you've got this cross between the two. A cross-world fantasy walks the line between the two and draws characters from the real world into a fictional world. Within these and other fantasy subgenres, readers can find elements of horror, humor, and romance.
So let's take a minute and just talk about some fantasy books that we have, some fantasy series that we have available in the libraries. If you're not a big fantasy reader, then I'm definitely going to start here with just some titles that you probably even recognize, even if you're not a big reader in general. But things like the Harry Potter series, the Lord of the Rings series, The Chronicles of Narnia, these are all fantasy books. The Twilight books, The Vampire Diaries. We have the Game of Thrones books, which of course the famous or maybe now infamous TV show was based off of. We have those books available. Those are fantasy books. Some popular series that get checked out a lot are the Throne of Glass series. We have the Raven Cycle books, which again get checked out a lot. We have all the series by Rick Riordan, which deal with a lot of Greek mythology. So if fantasy sounds like something that maybe you want to read, but maybe you haven't read a lot of before, definitely stop by and see one of us and we'll point you into something that might be interesting to you or point you towards something that's definitely popular. Some newer fantasy titles that we have in the library are The Candle in the Flame, The Never Turning World, A Constellation of Roses, Shadow Scent, Song of the Crimson Flower, among many others. So again, if you've never really experienced a fantasy book before, like Mrs. Watts said, there's different types of fantasy within that. Don't feel like if you read a book and don't like it, that automatically you don't like fantasy novels, because there's a good chance that there's something out there that you'll enjoy reading. So please stop by and see one of us so we can point you in the right direction in terms of fantasy novels. So, Mrs. Watts, why don't you enlighten us on some of your favorite fantasy books?
So, John, I've got to be honest. I'm one of those people who did not love reading fantasy even until like the last couple of years. When I taught middle school English, we did a lot with Lord of the Rings. And so that is actually one of my favorite fantasy books, The Fellowship of the Ring in particular. I love all the characters and the different areas that the author created. I just love the magic of that. But I'm challenging myself to read more fantasy. And two on my list are Caravel by Stephanie Garber. It looks like this girl who has always wanted to see a show, and then she gets this opportunity, gets there and realizes that she's going to be in the middle of it, and it's not at all what she thinks. So I'm excited to check that out. And then Norse Mythology by Neil Gaiman. It brings all these primeval stories together to create this arc of the different mythological worlds and deities and dwarfs and giants. And I'm excited to see how he plays that out. What about you? What fantasy novels rank at the top of your list?
So I picked two specifically, and I picked these two. I mean, they're books that I really enjoyed reading, but we also have them available for checkout. So that was another reason why I wanted to talk about these. One is Bone Gap by Laura Ruby. Bone Gap, I think, is definitely classified as a low fantasy. It's a story that takes place in a small town. And without giving too much away, The story is generally about a girl that's abducted and then kind of the hunt for what happened. Maybe a little bit of crossover, but definitely a low fantasy. Just a quick review from the Chicago Tribune. They described it as violence and social pressures mixed with a hefty dose of myth and magic. And then the second book that I chose, and you, I know, can... So I read this book last year. The book I'm talking about is Elantris by Brandon Sanderson, which is definitely a high fantasy. It's totally fictional world, fictional magic, of course. But the reason I laughed a little bit is because we went to the AASL conference last November.
Which is a conference for librarians.
And I was at the end of this book and I spent a good chunk of the time in the hotel room just finishing it up because at a certain point in the book, I just literally could not put it down. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed reading Elantris. So here's how Elantris is described from the author's website. It says, "The setting is the city of Elantris and the surrounding suburbs. There's a force in Aralon known as the Door that randomly chooses people and grants them divine powers. Elantris was once the city of the gods, where anyone who was chosen went to live. 10 years ago, the Elantrians lost their powers and caught a terrible disease instead. From that point on, Elantris became a prison city/contamination zone for any who caught that disease, for the Door continues to choose people and curse them." So, yeah, it's just a book that I really, really, really enjoyed reading. I'm sure I'll reread it at some point. However, I am in the middle of an epic fantasy right now, so as you so aptly described, it's going to take me a minute to get through that because it's also part of a series. So maybe once I get through that, also by Sanderson, by the way, but maybe once I get through that, maybe I'm sure at some point I'm going to find my way back to Elantris. So with that, let's move on to our next segment for our first episode, where we will formally introduce ourselves and our school's two libraries. Okay, so you had the fantastic idea of having each of us ask each other 5 questions. And so total disclaimer here, we haven't shared our questions with each other. I don't know what Miss Watts is going to ask me, and she doesn't know what I'm going to ask her.
And I'm a little scared.
So what do you think about, I'll ask you a question, and then we'll just alternate until we get to the end. Are you okay with that?
That sounds good.
Okay. So I'm starting kind of light here. Okay.
Good.
First question.
You can keep it that way if you want.
What's your favorite food?
Oh my gosh, your question. Okay. So my favorite food is honestly probably like buffalo chicken. Like any kind of buffalo. I like spicy stuff.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Yeah.
I dig it.
So I promise we didn't plan this, but my first question is, what's the weirdest food you've ever eaten?
Ooh. I don't know. As much as I like to try things, I feel like I've never, like...
Oh, come on.
...ventured out too far. Let me think.
Okay,
I don't know if I'm going to have an answer for you.
Okay, what about when you moved to Tennessee? What was maybe something new that you tried here that...
Well, I'm not going to answer that because I did think of something.
Oh, okay.
So, back home, I co-taught ELL classes with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so
isn't that sweet?
So sometimes she wasn't my wife at the time, but anyways, sometimes the students would bring in dishes that were native to where they were from.
Mm-hmm.
So this might not be like that outlandish to some people, but I had never had it before. And I did try tripe, I believe it's called.
Okay.
Which is, if I'm not mistaken, the stomach of maybe a particular animal, but I'm not 100% sure.
So that sounds pretty weird to me. I've never had that.
Yeah. So, and I didn't continue eating, but I did try it. So maybe, nice. Maybe that's the answer to what's the weirdest food
that I've ever tried. I like it.
Okay. Number 2, also kind of light here, but I feel like it's apt for what we're doing.
Okay.
What's your favorite book?
Oh gosh. My favorite book. Oh goodness. Okay, don't judge me or think this is super generic, but my absolute favorite.
Okay, so sorry about that. We had some unexpected visitors here in the library where we're recording, which is fine. But Let's get back into it. So before that happened, I asked you, what is your favorite book?
Okay. So I was trying to think about it, and then we had the interruption. So this sounds okay. Hopefully this is okay. So my favorite book, like if I were on a desert island, if I could take one book with me, like it would absolutely be the Bible. And I know that that's not everyone's first choice, but to me it has the best illustrations of romance and just the fight of life that we experience in so many ways. And then it's also just the most uplifting thing in the world for me. So that would be my number one.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Your turn. So what is the top destination on your must visit list?
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know if I like this game. I feel like I don't have any answers to anything.
I know, it's hard, right?
So I'm actually not a very well-traveled person. So there's a million places in the country and around the world that I'd love to visit.
Anything on the top of that list?
But I don't know. I don't know if I've even ranked them. But considering that I'm not a very well-traveled traveled person, maybe I should see more of our own country before I go and visit others. So I wouldn't mind getting around and seeing just some of the national treasures that I've never seen, you know, the Grand Canyon, mm-hmm. Mount Rushmore, things like that.
Yeah.
So for the sake of not sitting here for the whole podcast and thinking, I'll say that.
Okay. Like it.
So for this next one, before I ask the question, I have to ask you if you're willing to give a 100% honest answer.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
I promise.
Okay.
And I'm nervous.
Question 3.
Oh, gosh.
Is what do you think of my mohawk?
I think it's awesome.
For those of you that don't know, this is a relatively new look for me. There have been times in my life where I've had a mohawk, but this is probably the longest I've ever had one. So
it's true. No, I absolutely love it. It's awesome. It goes with the beard. You got this rock star look going. I think it's great. I think you should keep it.
I knew you'd say that, and I just wanted you to blow my head up a little bit. So, on to you.
Okay, question number 3 for you, John, is if you could write a book about your life, what would the title be and why?
So, I used to joke with my math classes when we were learning about asymptotes. That I would
know exactly what that is.
That I would write a book called The Asymptotic Life. So that's not the answer to my question, but it just made me think of that. What's the question again? I don't know why that sparked that memory.
Because you love math. If you could write a book about your life, what would the title be and why? Book about you. What's it called?
So a book about me.
About your life, yes.
About my life. God, I'm terrible at this.
Just kidding. Take your time.
God. I feel like
I know.
We might have to edit out this just extreme long silence while I think about what.
Do you want a different question? I brought back
no,
a question.
No, I feel like that's cheating.
Okay. I would agree with you, but I was going to give you the opportunity.
So I'm trying to like cheat even more. I'm just looking around the library at titles I can see to see if I can put some words together.
A Man and 3 Girls.
That certainly describes my life.
He has 2 beautiful daughters and a really sweet wife.
You, I know. I feel like I'm luckier than I'm supposed to be. I don't know. I feel like I want to go with something like philosophical here. Like,
yes.
I know you love a good amount of cheese, but
oh, yes, this is going to be extra cheesy. Yes.
Like always trying or something. Cause I feel like I'm like, even if it's a new hobby or a new interest or something, or even things that I've been doing for a long time, I feel like I'm always like diving deeper into them to learn or get better at or whatever the case may be. So,
I
don't know if I totally love my answer, but that's what I'm going to go with so that our podcast isn't 3 hours long.
But I totally agree with that. That definitely describes you.
Okay. So next question. I'm going to get a little more serious now.
Okay.
Ready? What are you most proud of?
Oh gosh. Definitely my family. So super proud of where my husband is in his work and life. And then our beautiful baby girl.
Mm-hmm. She's precious.
Yes, she is. 100%. Yeah.
Good answer.
Yes.
I wouldn't have expected anything else.
They're awesome. Okay. Number four for Mr. Hill. What is one of your favorite memories from the past year?
From the past year. Well, I'm like doing some math to figure out what happened in the last year. I would say, again, for the sake of not having a multi-hour long podcast here.
But we can do that if the listeners want it. No.
I would say making the career move from the math classroom to the library. There was a lot of uncertainty there, and it was something I wanted to do, obviously, mm-hmm. but I just wasn't sure how it would go or how much I'd actually enjoy it or how self-fulfilling it would be. But I've come to find that it's something that I really, really enjoy. I really enjoy working with you.
Thanks, man.
So I'll go with that.
I like it.
Okay. Last question.
Last one for me.
Last question. This is a hypothetical situation.
Oh.
Okay. So the hypothetical situation is that you're going to get $10 billion.
Okay.
But with that, everybody knows what you're thinking at all times. Do you take the $10
billion? Ooh. So I'm torn. Because I don't think there's anything wrong with being transparent. And even like when we have those, whether it's not like a perfect thought or maybe even a negative thought, like it's an opportunity for you to be real and honest and other people to learn. But at the same time, you know, you have your moments that you want to just have for yourself. And so I think I have a
lot of those moments.
I think I would turn it down. Yep.
Understandable.
Yep. Okay.
$10 billion is a lot of money.
It is. But like then the whole family's at stake. Like if we ever just want to have a moment and we don't want it to be broadcasted, you know? Okay. So last question. Who has influenced you most when it comes to how you approach your work?
Ooh. So, you know, most of my career has been spent in the math classroom. And I was fortunate enough in my student teaching experience, my senior year of college in the middle school rotation, to work with a teacher named Jessica Kraft at Perry Hall Middle School in Perry Hall, Maryland. She's married now. I don't know what her married name is or else I'd use it. And she was the best teacher that I ever saw teach. And it's weird because I don't know that she did any one thing like necessarily super different from anyone else or extraordinarily different from anyone else, but everything she did was intentional and on purpose, and it was just very well done. And having the opportunity to just work with her, even when it was my turn to teach, you know, and maybe it's also something to do with that was my first time where like the classes were mine,
mm-hmm.
you know, the observation parts of college were over. It was like, okay, go get it. And I feel fortunate that I got to have that first experience with such a quality teacher and quality person. And so I'll go with Jessica Kraft from Perry Hall Middle School. I don't think she's teaching there anymore, but that's where she was when I was going through it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, I feel lucky. I feel like everyone doesn't get to have that same experience when you're going through school like that. And I was, I count myself fortunate and lucky that I was able to have such a good experience with her. So,
absolutely.
Okay, so I've asked you questions. You've asked me questions. We've learned a little bit about each other. Let's talk about our spaces here at school. Let's talk about our library. So okay. I know that your library is recently renovated. You've got a really cool, unique space up there that I know you have some big plans for. So why don't you tell everybody what's going on up there in the Annex Library?
Ooh, I'd love to. So part of the motivation for taking this job was to update the library space and make it more than just somewhere to read. Because it is an opportunity to go and not only find yourself you know, in a book or in a story, but also just in what you enjoy doing and working with others. So all that to say, the Annex Library has been renovated in the last year and is still being updated with little tweaks here and there, but we're working to become more of a makerspace center and hopefully a STEM center later on down the road. But we're set up with study labs for students to come use and work with other students in presenting or projects, kind of like a, you would see on a university campus, I think is really cool. I'm excited about. And then so the next step is to start partnering with teachers and classes in how we can bring them into the library and let them just get hands-on with projects or practicing interviews or working before a board of colleagues, if you'd call it. But it's a really cool space with a lot of potential, and I'm just excited to keep adding to it.
Yeah, it's a cool place up there.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling when you walk in.
I can't wait to see where it goes in the next year or two.
Yeah,
that's going to be good. What about you, John? What's new in your library?
So the main library, you know, in contrast to yours, is more of a traditional space where my focus is on building the collection, keeping things current, keeping things on the shelves that people want to read, which, by the way, if you're listening and there's something you want to read that we don't have, man, just let us know and we'll buy it. You know, even though this library down here, we're in the main library right now as we're talking here, even though this library has more of that focus than yours, than Miss Watts does, it's not like she can't tell me, hey, so-and-so wants to get this book. So
Yeah. Please
feel free to do that. But aside from that, we did have, keeping with that traditional theme, we did have, when I took this position, kind of a computer lab space that just wasn't utilized very much. Mm-hmm. Plus, down here, we also have a full-on computer lab. So I've been lucky enough to be able to kind of get rid of that space. We have kept a few computers for student use and for printing and so forth. But we've been able to turn that space into more of a study area / social area. We've got some comfortable couches and chairs along with some more traditional tables. Just this year at the beginning of the year, we've been able to get a 75-inch TV.
Looks awesome.
And get it on the wall. Last year before school got canceled because of the pandemic, we had a Madden tournament set up. So mm-hmm. once it's appropriate to do so again, we'll get that going again. We've got the big TV now to have it. So feel free to stop by.
Yeah.
Before school, after school, get yourself a coffee. You know, if you want me to put the news on the TV, I can. If you want to watch SportsCenter, we can put that on. But this space is here to be used and along for the study side of it, I've also built some, so there's the bell. We are in the main library, like I said. So I've also started to build a collection of study materials for both the ACT and for all of the AP classes that we offer here at White House High. So I have those for use here in the library. Again, come by, get yourself a coffee, sit down in a comfortable chair,
mm-hmm.
do some AP flashcards with your friends, study for the ACT.
Atta baby.
The space is here to be used. So I feel like we're lucky here at the school because, well, we're lucky in the sense that we get to have two libraries and two librarians and we get to work together. But we're also lucky in the sense that we have two very unique spaces that can serve two unique purposes.
And they're all about the students.
I was going to say to serve our student body.
Yeah. So if you have ideas for how to use our spaces, please let us know. It is all about serving you and helping you build up your interests and hobbies. And we can do that best if we know what those are, hearing straight from you. So you mentioned grabbing a coffee in the library, John. So I'm going to go ahead and bring that up now. You can stop in either one of our libraries and get a hot coffee or a nice coffee, hot chocolate if that's your thing. And we're open before school and during school. And we would love to just put a little pep in your step. So come see us, get a coffee. But right now, I think it's time for us to take the last sip for this episode.
Clever. So in this final segment, we want to take the time to talk about titles that we have available for checkout that are relevant to a current cultural or communal topic in today's world. And so for our first episode, we want to make you aware of some books that we have on the topic of racial inequality in our country. So Mrs. Watts will get us started with the first book.
All right. First up is The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness by Michelle Alexander. Straight from the cover, this book directly challenges the notion that the election of Barack Obama signals a new era of colorblindness. Alexander argues, we have not ended racial caste in America, we have merely redesigned it. By targeting black men through the war on drugs and decimating communities of color, the U.S. criminal justice system functions as a contemporary system of racial control, relegating millions to a permanent second-class status, even as it formally adheres to the principle of colorblindness.
Another book that we have available is The Color of Law, A Forgotten History of How Our Government Segregated America by Richard Rothstein. Also directly from the cover, this book is a groundbreaking investigation into how U.S. governments in the 20th century deliberately imposed racial segregation on metropolitan areas nationwide. It goes on to describe undisguised racial zoning, public housing that purposefully severed previously mixed communities, subsidies for builders to create whites-only suburbs, tax exemptions for prejudiced institutions, and support for violent resistance to African Americans in white neighborhoods.
Next up is White Fragility, Why It's So Hard for White People to Talk About Racism by Robin DiAngelo. The phenomenon of white fragility is described as defensive moves that white people make when challenged racially, characterized by emotions such as anger, fear, and guilt, and by behaviors including argumentation and silence.
And the last book that we have available for checkout that we want to highlight is Stamped by Jason Reynolds and Ibram Kendi. From the book cover, it reads, "The construct of race has always been used to gain and keep power, to create dynamics that separate and silence. Racist ideas are woven into the fabric of this country, and the first step to building an anti-racist America is acknowledging America's racist past and present. This book takes you on that journey, showing how racist ideas started and were spread, and how they can be discredited." So if you'd like to check out any of these four books, or if you're curious about what other titles we have on racial inequality, please don't hesitate to stop by and see either Mrs. Watts or myself in either of the two libraries.
Well, John, it's time for us to check out. Don't forget to follow us at BDP_library on Twitter and Instagram for library updates and giveaways. And share with a friend.
Make time to read. Thanks for listening.